thirsty and dry, bread when I'm hungry and worn. When the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword, a shelter from life's troubled storms. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When the world gets so dark you can't see, and I've not made a change in one word that it said, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand is true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. When I think what it costs just to hold in my hand, it reminds me that I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who've gone to the stake and quoted with their dying breath. Now its critics are many and believers are few, but one thing I've found to be true: if you find when you read it that there's something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand is true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand is true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand.
All right, thank you guys. Great song. Okay, did everybody get a handout tonight? Okay, everybody have one? Someone need one? I don't have any money for you. Sorry, John. Okay, if we have an extra one, we can get it. Not you, John. I wouldn't give you a penny. Okay, we're in our summer series, and our summer series is one a little bit longer. I do plan when we're done to hop back into Proverbs. We have a few more lessons left in Proverbs, and so we're going to finish this up. What does a disciple do? We talked the first few weeks, the beginning of the summer, about the importance of taking that next step and being a disciple. And now we're going through our steps of growth that we try to help people with in our church, and just kind of going through one by one and kind of cementing it in our mind and making sure we understand exactly what that means. Luke chapter 14, verse 27, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Okay, there's requirements and there's extra effort needed if we're going to go from being a Christian to being a disciple, a true follower of Christ, and being committed to what he does. We have looked through the first couple steps. We looked at number one, it starts with salvation. We looked at number two, growth through devotion. Of course, we're just going through the outline up there on our next steps of growth. Excuse me, we have specific things we do. Then we started looking at step two. Number three is connection to others, and we looked at that last week. That's the importance of being in Sunday school, being in an adult Bible class, and helping people and greeting people and just stepping up to the plate to help those that are coming into our church. Now, we started number four, and we kind of went through the introduction of that. Number four is commitment to church, of course. And our second step there, that's church membership. Church membership. Being committed to your church. Okay? Look at letter A. We talked a little about this, but we'll finish it up, and then we'll get into some new stuff. Letter A. Joining a church is a commitment to it. Joining a church is a commitment to it. Acts chapter 2, right there, verse 40 and 41. "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word," they were saved, "were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Who is the them that they were added unto? The other believers, the church that was there, Jerusalem, those that had already been saved. So these people got saved, and now they're a part of this group. It didn't just end with salvation and baptism. Now they're a part of the church. That's really what we're looking for. If you're going to be a part of a church, it's very simple. The first part is to just, the most important is just join. Commit. We don't like commitment. Okay? I think you see the new attender's progression there. When someone thinks about their church, a church, they're going to go through, hopefully, three steps. First, they're going to say, be that church before they attend, right? You invite someone to church, it's like, oh, you're that church up on Magnolia. I've driven by that church, okay? I've heard of that church, yeah. Okay, why? Well, they don't come here. They know nothing about us. Then they come and they'll say, I go to this church, Pacific Baptist Church. But when they join, they say, my church. That's what we want you to say. We want you to say, this is my church. If you've been coming for a while and you think this is the church where God wants you, you need to join. You need to join. Look, we don't think that a man and a woman living together is right. Say, why do you think that's not right? Well, the Bible says it's not right. Okay? What you're doing when you're coming to church, you're not joining, it's not as bad, but it's like you're living with the church, you don't commit to it. Let's make a commitment. Okay? This church is for you. Hop in. It's good. Very important. But we are afraid of commitment because how many times in our life have we been burned because we've committed to something and it hasn't worked out or someone lied to us or something of that nature? So if you're joining a church, that means you are making commitment saying, this is my church. Number two, our letter B. Joining church is a first step to greater involvement. To greater involvement. Now, when we get to one of the other steps that talks about serving, we'll look at some scriptures in the Bible that talk about one of the first things God really talks about for us once we get saved and baptized. God says you were saved and baptized for a purpose, and one of those purposes is to do good works. Okay? It's in Ephesians. It's in Titus. God wants us to do good works. God wants us to do ministry. Ministry is serving others for the sake of Christ through your local church. That's ministry. And so if we want to get involved, and by the way, you should. But you got to remember first, God, join up with us. Okay? When you join up, get involved. Now it's your church. I mentioned before the early days when I got involved in church. I was there for 6 months, and then after 6 months, finally it was like it's time for me to quit just sitting around and being fed and being in the services and growing. It was time for me to step up and get involved with helping others. Now I was a young man, single and so forth, and so I jumped in and did a bunch of things. Now you don't need to do 100 things, but make this your church. So you can get involved with serving. And you say, I really don't understand all about that, and I've heard about it, and I'm thinking about it. Listen, be here on Saturday. We'll go through some things, and we'll help you with it, and we'll have an opportunity for you to look at the many different ministry opportunities that we have so that you can find a place of service. Everybody needs a place to get involved. Everybody needs a place to be a part of this church. I guarantee you this, if you don't get involved in your church, you're gonna feel a little bit of a disconnect because everything's going to revolve around you. Everything's going to revolve about what's in it for me, and that gets a little taxing after a while. If all we do is sit around and think about ourselves, it's not good. But I'll tell you, when we're out serving others, what's going in our life doesn't seem as bad. Now, I know we need to deal with it and all that stuff. I'm not belittling the point that we have things we have to, issues we got to deal with, and we have problems in our life. But I'll tell you what, it's a lot easier to get through because it's not, our life's not just about us. It's like, hey, I can be a blessing and serve and do things that are very, very, very important of the church, in the church. But you can't do that if you're not a member. Letter C. Becoming a member brings responsibility, not just privilege. Okay? Not going to hide it. I'm a member. I get, what do they get? You get these little children's clubs. You're a member and you get like a plastic sticker badge to put on you. Like, I'm a big deal. Yeah. You know what you get when you know what your badge is when you join our church? I was going to say tithing envelopes, but we'll teach you how to use Simple Give on your cell phone, okay? Listen, when you join a church, it's time to take responsibility. Now, there is a lot of privilege. As I mentioned last week, listen, I thank God for the church. Since the day I got saved, and I've been a member of 1, 2, 3, 4 churches in my lifetime. And I thank God for every one of them, and I don't know where I'd be in my Christian life without them. Church has been a blessing to me. And it is a blessing. And so, but on the other hand, also, it brings responsibility. It's like having children. You know, children are a blessing, okay, most of the time. Children are a blessing. Man, you can't wait for that little booger to be born, you know, and like, oh, I can't wait for my first child, and you get them. And then at 3 o'clock in the morning, they start screaming, and they do all kinds of off-the-wall things. There's a lot of responsibility for children, but you know what? Parents don't care. Because there's a lot of good things with having a child, okay? And so, same is true with the church. We need to get involved. There seems to be a disconnect in the average Christian. All they think about is, we live in a consumer mentality. You know, we go to a restaurant or a store. What are they doing for me? And we bring that into our relationship with God. Now, by the way, we're here to help you meet your needs. If you have needs and you're having trouble, you need counsel, you name it, come see us. That's not all church is about. We're not consumers. When we join the church, we become laborers. We're part of the team. We're part of the workforce. And we get to be a blessing and to help others. People want the benefits of something without the responsibility. Like I mentioned, you know, well, I won't go back on that. The cost that we pay is responsibility. By the way, the world knows that, don't they? You go to a college somewhere and you graduate from college, they want to have an alumni association. Say, oh, what's the alumni association? You know, we get to cheer for our football team and we get a, you know what you get? You get to donate to the school. I mentioned before, we were trying to rent the Elks Lodge years ago, and Pastor Esposito and I went there, and he was talking to somebody, and I was looking around, and on the front board, when you walked into the Elks Lodge, they had a list of Elks Lodge members who were behind on their dues. They posted their names. Backslidden Bullwinkles. That's what they were. It's like, these members have not been paying their dues. What if we did that? What if you came to church and on the door was like, the following church members haven't been paying their tithe? We wouldn't need the new building probably, all right? But listen, the whole point of that is, listen, why does God even want us to tithe in the first place? That there may be meat in my house, to take care of the needs of your church and to help us to continue to go out and reach a dying world for the cause of Christ. Responsibility. It makes sense to participate. Look at the little bullets there. You give where you receive. Okay? By the way, everybody's clamoring for your money. And I'm not against, you know, giving a couple bucks to Hurricane Relief for your job or something or whatever, you know, you go. But listen, our giving ought to be for spiritual reasons. Okay? That's first and foremost. What is it doing for the cause of Christ? What is it doing for the cause of eternity? If you're receiving from somewhere, then you ought to give so other people can receive also. Next, you serve where you're being served. You know, when I came to this church, everybody was so nice. I mean, I came in and the parking attendant showed me where to park, and I got a parking spot in the parking lot. You remember now, park off-site. Parking's not for you anymore. If you have a handicap placard or you're older and you can't walk, parking's for you. If not, it's not for you. I'm joking, but if you absolutely have to park there, but listen. Oh, but you don't understand. Have your husband drop you off and go park at Blue Line and don't park on 30. If you're able-bodied, please park off-site, particularly on Sunday morning. It's when we have more people in here and you have new people coming. That's a responsibility of membership. And I wish we were, and I hate hearing the stories, you know. I hear some of my old friends I went to Bible college with, and, you know, I was there. We bought a church building for $100,000, and they got 27 acres. Be quiet. Okay, we have 27 acres too, but you got to put a point between the 2 and the 7, 2.7 acres. We just don't have parking. Well, we do. It's just not on the church property, okay? So, and I'm not harping on, I'm just saying, that's the point. Listen, what can we do to be a blessing and to serve others? And the last thing is, you tell what you've been told. You heard the gospel. We're getting the word out. You go out and get the word out too. Say, well, I'm just, you know, I had a guy come visit. He came to my office one time. He didn't go to our church. He wanted to get baptized here. We're just talking. He's like, well, you know, I give to reaching. I reach souls to Christ by giving money. And I thought, well, you know, he didn't ask me, but I'll just go ahead and tell him. I'm like, that doesn't count. Bible tells you have to go tell people. Yeah, you. So that's look. Did someone tell you? Someone trying to encourage you. Hey, we have a responsibility to perpetuate that. We cannot be silent. Letter D. Being a member of church, and I'm preaching the choir here, but here we go, is more than just coming on Sunday morning. It's just more than attendance one time a week. And you're here on Thursday, so I'm kind of preaching the choir, but I want you to understand this. Look what happened once these people were added to the church, verse 42 of Acts 2. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were gathered together and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat the bread with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Okay? It sounds to me, when I'm looking at these early believers, it wasn't just, hey, we got saved, we got baptized, Pentecost was great, we'll see you next week. Kind of seems to me that they were in. Kind of seems to me it's a little bit more than that. They were really active in what was going on. They were really a part of it. Look at what followed after they joined the church. I have you some blanks there. They learned the Bible. Learned the Bible. Now listen, you have to get into the Bible for yourself. That was point two, devotion. Well, let me just tell you something. Being in the church and being in the services, hear the word of God taught, to hear the word of God preached, and what you're reading, it all starts to melt together, and you're getting more knowledge, and it makes more sense the more you learn and the more you're going on. So be here, being in the service is important. Fellowship. Believe it or not, we need each other. Believe it or not, new people need us. The easiest place to make friends, and we mentioned it last week, in the church, the easiest place to make friends ought to be in the church. Let's not make a new person jump through 75 hoops to be able to get into our groups, to get into our friends, to be a part of our adult Bible class. Grab them. Don't grab them, you know, physically. Get a hold of them. Hey, come sit with me. Meet so-and-so. So-and-so, they're new. And then encourage and help them. Prayer. Aren't you glad when you need something or something drastic is going on, you can come to your church family and say, can you pray for me? By the way, I feel sorry for Christians that don't have a church family. Who do they go to when they need prayer? Okay, it's nice to just start shoot a few texts out. Hey, pray for this person. And then it kind of gets out, and the whole church is praying, and people are going for it. And by the way, it's a blessing you can pray for others. You know, I remember when I went to Bible college, a friend of mine, Al, he was an upperclassman. He introduced me to a lady at the church in First Baptist Hammond. Her name was Mrs. Bartell. She was a widow. Her husband had been a pastor for many, many, many years. He had passed away. She was probably in her 70s. And what they did is, it's a huge church. They built an apartment in the church for her. She had no one to take care of her. She had been a faithful servant for many years. And she lived at the church. She was older, could not get around as much. And so what she did, she took it upon herself to have what she had, a ministry of prayer, just praying for people all day long. And not a lot of students knew it. My friend Al introduced me to her and said, you need to meet this lady. And I remember before I was working in the early days of college, we would go after Wednesday night service, and I'd just sit there with her. And you know, we're 19. She's like 75. Honey, how can I pray for you? And listen, that lady prayed for us. And we would come back next week and see her, and she goes, how is that going? I was praying for you. And she'd mention what she was praying for us for. That was an encouragement to me. I remember on my bus route, okay, I'm on my bus route, you know, we're in Chicago, 50 miles from the church, and I'm out there visiting, you know, and I'm the ministerial student, man of God. We're going to build a bus route of 3,000. And I'm out visiting my bus route. I knocked on a door, and I met a man. He was in his 80s. He had been a preacher early on in his life. He was older now, and he was taking care of his sister and his wife who weren't in good health. Now, he was never going to ride my bus, but I would go to his apartment every single week. And he'd pull me in. Young man, how you doing? I just remember two things. But he was godly, and he loved the Cubs. I have no idea why he loved the Cubs if he was godly. But he was, and I, you know, we're there to get kids and get people to church, and I knew he was going to come. I go, all right. I said, I'm leaving. I'll see you later. All right, come over here. And he put his hand on me and pray for me every single week. Okay? That guy, he knew God, and it was a blessing to me. Prayer. Next, the ordinances, the breaking of bread and baptism through your church. By the way, we will have Lord's Supper Sunday night service, okay? That's in our schedule. And then growth. They're adding to the church. There's a lot more to church than just showing up to a service and then going home until the next time. Letter E. Church membership and attendance should be a conviction, not a convenience. I wish we would get this. You know, if I didn't show up Sunday morning, and where's Brother Myers? Well, you know, someone else is preaching. The Rams have been winning, and they're on this week. By the way, if the Rams are winning, I should be at home because that doesn't happen very often. I mean, that's a miracle right there. Can I get a witness? You know, or, well, you know, his sister called, and they're having a birthday party for his nephew, Boo Boo. And he didn't want to offend his sister, so he had to be at the birthday party. You'd say, hey, you can't do that. You're a preacher. I don't come because I preach. I come because I'm a Christian. And I came to church every Sunday long before I ever worked on a church staff. And before I was ever before any of that stuff. And hey, you want to do something on Sunday? Nope, church. I'm in. Okay? And why? Because it's not a convenience. Some of you are fairly, listen, you're here on Thursday night, you're committed. But some of you aren't 100%. If the right opportunity comes along, you'd miss a service. Now look, if you're sick, stay home. If you die, stay home for a couple weeks. Okay. You know what I'm saying. But some of us stay home way too easy. I'm sick. 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon, let's go to the mall. I feel better. Listen, my grandmother healed me of that. Went to school one day. I cried. I didn't want to be at school. She walked to the school. She picked me up. I was home by 8 in the morning. I was the first grade, and I thought, this worked nice. I cried, and I got to go home. She stuck me in bed at 8:30 in the morning. And this is back before televisions everywhere and devices. And I stayed in a dark bedroom until 8 o'clock the next morning, 7 o'clock the next morning. I cried the second day. She walked to my grandmother was the toughest lady, but she was sweet and didn't talk. She walked to the school because I was staying with her at that time. She brought me home. She stuck me in bed until the next morning. Listen, the third day, I was ready to learn. I was in. I'm like, I went to school and I felt that fear, and I'm like, no, I ain't staying in bed all day. Teacher, what do you got for me? Okay? If you're sick, you're sick. People have all types of reasons why they don't come to church. I read this. I saw this on the internet. They're like, here's some reasons why people never take a bath or wash up, and these are taken from excuses people give for not going to church. Okay, I don't take a bath because I was made to take one as a child. People who take baths are hypocrites. There are so many different kinds of soap. I could never decide which one was right. I used to take a bath, but I got bored, so I stopped. By the way, I've been by some of you. I think you like these excuses. I still bathe on special occasions like Christmas and Easter. None of my friends wash. I really don't have time. The bathroom is never warm or cold enough. By the way, we fixed that one, all right? People who make soap are only after your money. I watch other people wash on television. I bought a bad bar of soap once, so I swore I would never wash again. Wash day is the only day I have to sleep in. My wife washes enough for the whole family. I know people who wash but don't act very clean. Okay? Say, those are lame excuses. I know. And if you put the word church in there, they're just as lame. There's no excuse. As us who are here on a Thursday night, we ought to make it a conviction. Hey, we go to church. That's just what we do. Unless something happens and I'm deathly ill or whatever, I'm going to be here. What do we call that? We call that for to flourish. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night. Make a commitment to that. Don't just make it something like, I look at the schedule, there's not something else to do, I'll be there, but if something else is a little more interesting, I'm not coming. That's, you know what that is? That's convenience. By the way, most of you don't eat when it's convenient. I don't go home and say, hey, it's dinner. My wife's like, wasn't convenient today. We'll wait till tomorrow. Listen, convenience or no convenience, I got a conviction. I'll go buy a pizza. Okay, we're eating. Okay, it's in the Bible somewhere. I'm convicted. We're doing it. Let's make sure we do that. By the way, let me just throw this out there. If you don't get happy, we're good. When you're at church, let's be at church. It makes no sense to come to church if we're not going to be at church. Say, well, I'm physically here. Look, you go to a sporting event, people are all in. I remember when I first moved back to California, right before we started church, my wife and I went to a hockey game. We got tickets. It was the playoffs. Listen, those people didn't even act Christian. They were bad. They were playing Calgary, the Canadian team. They booed the national anthem of Canada. That's back before the politically correct garbage. They were just doing it not because they hated Canada. They just hated the other team. And listen, they were into everything that was going on. Someone got hit. Everybody's like, ooh. Okay, they weren't like, oh, it's boring. Okay, be a part of what's going on. How do we do that? I knew you were going to ask. Let's be in our places. Let's not just hang out, okay, walk around. But look, let's be here. Let's not talk. Now, if someone cuts their finger off, that's fine. Help them. All right. Let's pay attention to what's going on. Okay. That's why. Look, I encourage everybody to have a Bible. And I've told you over and over, I read my Bible reading, and I know someone will probably rip me for this, but get over it. I read my Bible on my iPad, okay? I read Olive Tree. I love it. Looks just like the Bible. I take my notes in. It's all good. But when you bring a device to church, now, if you do, I'm not fussing at you. I'm not trying to embarrass you, so don't take offense. But what happens is you got your iPhone out for your Bible, and then it's like, hey, my team just scored, okay? Now, see, I'm a Rams fan. I don't have to worry about that. They never score. Remember last year? What was it? Jack in the Box was giving away a free hamburger every game the Rams scored 2 touchdowns. I think they gave away 4 hamburgers for the whole year. Rams stink. So I don't have to worry about that, okay? They say, hey, your team didn't score again. We'd be all over that. But you get popped up. I don't have this on my phone. I don't post a lot on Instagram anymore. I've been too busy for that. Not that I'm against it. But like my wife on her Instagram, she had something where every time someone liked her photo, it would pop up. So-and-so liked your photo. Man, we're in bed. Her phone's charged, and I keep seeing a light going on and off. I'm like, what? Did someone die? I better check. Like 20 people liked an Instagram post from 2 hours ago. I'm like, do you people go to bed? Are you vampires? Okay? It's like, brother. But you know, your Instagram post is going to pop up. Right? So let's by the way, remember the patio is still church. Amen out there? Yes, okay. We're trying to take care of that situation by getting a new building, but I appreciate the folks that sit out there. And sometimes a year it's a lot cooler and better out there, yes. Well, what I'm saying, we're at church, let's be here, okay? And we better stop right there before we get to the next point. Let's pray.